The John Daly Show. Sports.
And hi, everyone. Our Super Bowl picks, a big game because Boychuk and I are both 7-3 in our playoff predictions, and that's all that matters. Is this a make-or-break Super Bowl for Cam Newton? And what about the race question? More on the L.A. relocation. We think we know what will happen next season. Who's in L.A.? Where will the Raiders go? What about the Raiders in Vegas? We will explain. And will you pay attention to the halftime show tomorrow? Our thoughts on that. And fantasy sports, still a jumble. We don't know if it will be here or where. I'm just back from the world's biggest gaming convention in London, and I witnessed a new fantasy sports, really a gambling site. But it also appears law enforcement and now the banks are giving fantasy sports the cold shoulder here in the U.S. Some off-field stuff. Cap wants to go to the Jets? Maybe. Johnny Manziel might have worse problems than his arm and his inability to read defenses. We will go into some rumors and criminal reports about Johnny Football becoming Johnny Dunn. As always, our expert is Eric Schneider. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Vegas. Boychuk, good morning and happy Super Bowl.
Good to have you back from the old cheerio London there, lad. That was good. Love it. Super Bowl to you, too.
Cheerio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always do this. When the Super Bowl ends, and that'll be Monday, it's roughly, it depends, but I'm thinking it's about 232 days to opening day. But when the Super Bowl ends, it's about 7 days to pitchers and catchers reporting.
Well, that's true. And us Red Sox fans, we got about a week before the truck leaves Fenway to go down to Western Florida. So we'll be following that. Hey, let's get to the game. I'll jump right in with my prediction. I have the Panthers winning 23-16. I think it goes down to the last series. But during the game, I think it's going to be the kickers and special teams are going to be really crucial here. Now, a few days ago, I thought this might be a blow-up. But as I look further into it, I think this is going to be a really good game. I'm still worried about the defensive injuries on the Broncos, even though reports say they practiced at full speed yesterday. Overall, I think the Panthers are loose. I think they are the better team, but I think the Denver experience keeps them real close. Who you got?
I like everything you just said, except that doing my research, I looked at the teams that have the number one defense going into the Super Bowl are 7-1. And I go back, I know you like both teams. I know you like the Giants and you like the Patriots. Let's go back to one of the greatest upsets in Super Bowl history. Not to me, but the 2000 season when the Giants went in and took on the undefeated 17-0 New England Patriots. What happened in that game? You found a way. Tom Coughlin found a way to stop that juggernaut. I think the same thing happens. One of us is going to be 8-3, and one's going to be 7-4. So I'm going with the Denver Broncos to win 23-20. I'm sticking with it. The number one defense. You saw they hit. Tom Brady got hit more times in that game in that conference championship game. They got hit the entire season. Okay, I know there was injuries have you. And
go ahead. You're right. I mean, Wade Phillips could be the MVP of the game.
Well, you know, I had a pick for Coach of the Year, and I picked Wade Phillips on the Power Hour. We did the thing with JT the Brick, and I said, and they laughed, and I said, it's got to be a head coach. I said, no, he's done a phenomenal job with that defense. And you got to remember, in the second half of that game with the Patriots and the Broncos, both the starting safeties of the Broncos are out with injuries, and they still just turned it on with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. Look, I agree with everything you said. I think it'll be a close game. The Panthers, we're concerned about the Panthers in 14 of their games. They've got out the comfortable lead. Let's see what happens if they get down on a game. Okay. And that could happen in the big stage. I have the Broncos. I have them winning 23-20. I think the front seven, the Broncos, is going to find a way to keep this guy, in check, even though he's a great athlete. The Panthers have a better running game. And let's go back. The sentimentality probably in this game is going to be with Peyton Manning. I think this is his last hurrah. Well, one of us is going to be 8-3 and 1-7-4.
Okay. Well, we will definitely see. You and I were discussing last week about Cam Newton and what a huge game this is for him, especially if the Panthers win or lose. It has money and endorsement implications, but also we were talking about historical and race implications. What were some of your thoughts on that?
No, I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. I remember, and you do too, the 1987 season when Doug Williams played in that Super Bowl and threw four touchdowns in the second quarter to just annihilate, ironically, the Denver Broncos. And what I've heard this week and about the black quarterback, and here's an interesting, I got two thoughts on this. First of all, when Deion Sanders comes out, I'm naming people live and say he is the black face of the NFL. What does Russell Wilson feel like? Who's actually had a better career? Russell Wilson's been in the league 1 year less than Cam Newton and has better stats over that time and has been to two Super Bowls and won a Super Bowl. And last thing I looked, he's black. So when you make statements like that, you are bringing up something because you have nothing to talk about. Tom Flores, Raider coach, remember him? Won the 1980-1983 Super Bowls. He was on with Hannah Storm on ESPN. And she said, you know, you're not hearing much in the media about that Ron Rivera is the second Mexican-American minority coach in the Super Bowl. Yet, she said, this is brilliant journalism. Yet when Tony Dungy or Mike Tomlin, black coaches in the Super Bowl, they make a deal about it. Cam Newton be a black quarterback. And Tom Flores said something I thought was very, 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 very interesting and novelish. He said, maybe because our people are safe in their skin. What a great line that is. You know, it's a little dig. I don't get it. I don't get the whole race thing. I think Cam Newton's a great quarterback. I think he's a great kid. He's articulate. Look, man or man not, he's a handsome man, okay? You have to have a bromance with this guy. And if you saw him get off that plane when they deplaned, he was wearing those $850 Versace pants. You saw a man who had a camel toe on both the front and the back, okay? I had women saying to me, wow, look at that package. This is the man. If they win this game, okay, and you're seeing a ton. Right now I count four endorsements he has already, including Gatorade, yeah. Gillette. Could you imagine the endorsements if they win this game? Even if they lose this game, he could probably have more endorsements than any other Bronco, because how many times are we going to see Peyton Manning and Papa John's and Nationwide and what have you? I don't buy the race thing. I'm tired of it. You have nothing to talk about. I'm a big fan, and JT the Brick, who's on the Power Hour, nationally syndicated guy, said the same thing. When the Super Bowl is a one-week game after the conference championships, it's run a lot better and the game's a lot better. And seven Super Bowls have been done that way. You have 2 weeks to talk about this damn game. And to bring up this whole thing about the race car, if Cam Newton was the first black quarterback in the 50th year of the Super Bowl, you have a story. And I'm adamant about this. You just can't come out and make this a story. And you know what? I hate to say this, but a lot of the minority journalists are making this a story. And I don't get it. How do you feel about it?
I agree. No, I agree 100%. And I guess I don't know if it's because I've either been overseas or I do have what I would call a traditional liberal social attitude. I'm a fiscal conservative, but or maybe I've just evolved as a person. I don't look at Cam Newton and say, oh, he's a black quarterback. I just don't look.
No.
I don't look at him and say he's a black quarterback. I look at him and I go, that is a special weapon quarterback. And I agree with you. I think there is too much time. I think they're trying to fill the void here, and they're trying to find different things that are going on. And again, we can go on and talk about the silly stuff with the Oscars. We won't get into that now because we're talking football. But
I'm
right there.
Could I jump in on one last analogy? It's like, you know, a lot of athletes refer to themselves as soldiers, and it upsets the military, and it's kind of it's kind of insulting. Yet, to make an analogy, the great thing about sports and the military is that no matter what race, ethnicity, gender you are, you're there for one common goal, and that's to win. Okay? If you're in a foxhole and you're fighting the enemy, who cares what color your skin is? You're shooting at the enemy because you don't want to get killed. If you're on a football field or a basketball court, whatever your teammates are, who cares? You're trying to win the game. So it doesn't really matter what you are. As long as your common goal is the same. And I've never understood that. And you're right. I've never seen more talk about a black quarterback since. You know, I heard this with Russell Wilson. And this would piss me off. I'll bring Deion Sanders into this. He said that there's more street cred with Cam Newton. So you're saying that one brother is more of a brother than another? I've noted that. Is that fair to say that? Is it fair to say that one Jew is more than a Jew than another? Because, you know, he might eat more gefilte fish and the other guy is non-kosher. How fair is that? Hey, I heard it. You like ethnic jokes? You think we can get away with it? I heard a great ethnic joke.
Okay.
John?
Go for it.
Heard a great ethnic joke. If Bernie Sanders, I know you're political. If Bernie Sanders wins the presidency, he'll be the first Jewish man he'll be the first Jewish man to move into a house that a black man moved out of.
good. Very good.
Max Snyder at AOL.com. Send it right now. But hey, we have to keep it loose here. We're informed, not inflamed.
No, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about the game. And I guess the spectacle of the game. While you're in your man cave, do you stick around and do you watch the halftime show?
No. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to my son's house. My son's having a party. And he goes, "Dad, I know you like to watch a game, but please come by and see the guys and, you know, and their girlfriends, and we'll sit and we'll eat sub sandwiches and pizza and have a few adult beverages, and at halftime I will go home and then watch the second half of my wife, because I have to listen to the game. I want to hear some of the commentary from the Phil Simms and the Jim Nances, and that's it. But I've never watched a halftime show. Never.
And, you know, it's really interesting, because I've been to a lot of Super Bowl parties, and then a lot of times the following year, it's like, I don't want to go to Super Bowl. I want to see the game. So I'm exactly the same way too. But the times that I'm just in a quiet room by myself, or just with family who's also paying attention to the game, I can't remember if I watched the halftime show. I just saw a special on CBS about the best Super Bowl halftime shows. It was actually really good. I didn't intend to watch this thing. And it was more about the history of the Super Bowl and how the halftime show was entwined with history, entertainment, the evolution of entertainment, the evolution of the popularity of the game. I would say it's worth watching because it's more of a historical piece. It was on CBS, and I think it was Chris O'Donnell. Who's the guy that's in L.A., one of the L.A. I can't remember. I think it's Chris O'Donnell. It shows you how bad I am on pop entertainment now. But anyway, it's an interesting show, and so I raise this question to you. Did you think Coldplay was an odd choice, and do you care?
Yes, and I don't care. But just to jump on what you just said, which I think is great, is that if it was Tony Bennett, a man in his 80s, we're all watching, you know, because it's an icon. I'm not a big Coldplay fan. They're talented. I don't want to knock the band. But it's just, I don't care. I can tell you, I don't care who it is. And you remember the biggest snafu ever is when Justin Timberlake was grabbing Janet Jackson and her breasts fell out, you know? And that wasn't about the halftime show. That was about what happened. Yeah.
I couldn't watch the rest of the game. It was awful.
Yeah. Well, you were in prison at the time, so last time you saw a breast. We won't get into that. But no, I just don't care about the halftime show. You know, the great thing about halftimes in the NFL during the regular season and the championship games, they're 12 minutes. And it's great. I mean, you really have – you don't have enough time to even go and get a beer or use a restroom. When I go to a game, when I went to a few games this year, you really try and time it to go at the two-minute warning. You get back and the game starts, and it's great. But it's a 40-minute halftime show, okay?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You don't need it. Well, and not interested.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Now – what about commercials? Do you pay attention to the commercials?
No.
You don't?
I mean, okay. I think – I don't feel like – look, obviously people do. I mean, it's funny. I've talked to some friends of mine. They go, "We like to watch the Super Bowl because of the commercials," not even football fans. And some of the commercials are brilliant. You know, some of the commercials are great. But a lot of times – okay, for example, tomorrow for the first half when I'm with my son and his girlfriend and the kids there, you know, we'll be talking – during the commercials and socializing. But in the second half, I'll watch, you know, I'm obviously watching. A lot of times what I do, this is interesting, you and I grew up in an era when we first had TV sets, you had to turn it with your finger. You didn't have remote controls. Now I'm a remote control freak. It's almost attached to my hand. I'll go to the NFL Network and see if they're talking about the game. They'll have, like, you know, because it's our duty, and I don't want to sound Pollyanna here, but it's our duty as journalists to see, okay, Jamie Dukes is talking about what just happened in that last series. I want to hear people's input.
Well,
and
you know, that's
some of the commercials.
A lot of people... Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, you know, a lot of people into that. What? Yeah, and you think about, and I don't know this, you might know this better, John. Isn't 30 seconds $1 million right now? 30-second commercials $1 million. So you do a 60 second commercial, you're paying $2 million.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that. And what's going to be really interesting is the, like you saying, going to the NFL channel. A lot of people are going to be having their iPhones and their iPads or whatever they use for smartphone, and they're going to be having that. So you're going to see the number. I bet you the percentage is going to be 50% of the people watching will be also watching on a second screen.
What a great point you just made.
The NFL Network.
And you're brilliant.
That's what's going to happen. Well, I don't know. I can't say I'm brilliant, but those are the stats.
You just hit on something. They said that the Twitter blow up on Super Bowl Sunday is huge. You go to your Twitter, you look at your Twitter, and you see LeBron James just tweeted about what that play was. And people go, you're right, the people with their devices and social media, and I'm an old school guy, you know, but like I said, in the first half, I'm talking to the kids, seeing how they feel about it and having fun. And then, you know, I'll watch it, but when I'm home, I'll go back and forth in that second half, the NFL Network. And I'll listen to their, because they go nonstop, I think almost commercial free, and they're sitting there dissecting, they're watching it with you, you know. So, and they'll have a thing, and they'll jump in, a little thing, they'll jump in and say, wow, can you believe that series? Can you believe it was 3rd and 9 and Cam Newton decided to run a pitch option and lost 4 yards? And, you know, you get other people's perspective of it that maybe you didn't see, and you could add to your own dialogue about the game. So, to answer your question, I could care less about the halftime show. Coldplay's a talented band, not my cup of tea. That's great. No pun intended to their English roots. And the commercials I can care less about.
Okay. Since we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about the aftermath of the conference championship games, just real briefly, the two losers in the conference championship, give me some takeaways of things that may have happened to them from that game as far as going on. Let's talk about the Patriots first. Patriots losing a close game. They looked horrible, but their just stick-to-itiveness and their you know, made the game close. Anything from that game that's going to take away that hurts or helps them?
They're one of the youngest teams in the NFL, and you got to remember this. The Broncos had 28 yards of offense in the fourth quarter. The Patriots dominated them in the fourth quarter and had some – you and I talked about this off the record. They had some just horrible play calling on their fourth down. So I talked – it was a team that figured it out. Josh McDaniel figured them out, and then Matt Patricia, their defensive coordinator of the Patriots, figured out the Broncos. The bottom line, it just wasn't their day. Sometimes you have a game – I heard Bill Belichick say, sometimes you have a game and it's just not – It just doesn't roll. Well, how many times have you seen Stephen Gostkowski hasn't missed an extra point since what, 2006?
Yeah.
500. I mean, the guy's the most brilliant kicker. So it just wasn't their day. And we talked about it earlier in the segment, John. Tom Brady got hit more times in that game than he got hit the entire season. So that's that game. Now let's go to the Cardinals and the Panthers. I think I told you a stat when we last talked that Carson Palmer had the most starts in the NFL without a playoff win, and only two other guys have beaten him out, and they're pretty good quarterbacks, and I'm going old school. Jim Hart of the old St. Louis Cardinals, and John Hadle, who had a great career with the Rams and the Chargers. And Carson Palmer has a history of bowl games, and even in the Green Bay game that they won, he had a bad game until the overtime. Horrendous. I thought Rich Gannon, and I witnessed this person, I was at the game, I thought Rich Gannon had the worst playoff / Super Bowl with the 5 interceptions, but he also threw 2 or 3 touchdown passes. Carson Palmer was god-awful. And how dare they? How dare they blame his fingers on it? And I know Bruce Arians came out and said, don't blame him on the fingers. I know he was injured going into it. If you're injured, don't play, okay?
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I said, you have to have more money for a backup quarterback. You cannot, you know, and I'm not buying it. You just, the Panthers were a better football team. I never saw that coming. Look, no one's shocked that the Broncos beat the Patriots. Maybe some Patriot fans are because of their egos, but the Broncos are the number one defense. They deserve to be there, and they're a better football team. But I was shocked that the Panthers just totally dominated and blew out Arizona the way they did. So, look, we had the two number one seeds in the playoffs for, what, the third year in a row? So
yeah.
They're two best teams, record-wise.
And when we talk in the regular season about how important it is to get that number one seed, this is the example. This is exactly what we're talking about. Because
okay, the last addendum to that, what pissed off a lot of Patriot fans, how do you lose the last game of the season to the Dolphins? All you have to do is win that game, and you're playing that game in Foxborough. And I think if they're playing in Foxborough, they probably beat the Broncos. So It wasn't the Patriots year. You know, Patriots, where you had all the injuries, this and that. Well, every team has injuries. And you couldn't beat a team that had their two starting safeties out with 11 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the third quarter on. T.J. Ward is a Pro Bowler, is out. And you couldn't exploit that. But they did on that 4th and 10 to Gronk that went long. But he didn't win the game. And that's that. And, you know, the last thing I'll tell you, I think the Patriots are in better shape going into next season than the Cardinals are. I looked at their list of free agents. I looked at the three youngest teams in the NFL are the Seattle Seahawks. That's scary. The Oakland Raiders, which bodes well for me because they showed improvement, and the Patriots. So, do you have Tom Brady and the rest of the guys are in their 20s?
Yeah.
Gronk's going to be 30, but I mean, Edelman, the core of their defense are 27 years and younger. That's huge.
Well, what's interesting, after those two games, and I lost both those games, you nailed both those games, and I remember saying, that's why I have you on as the expert, because you said, home team, better defenses, and you nailed it perfectly, and that was definitely on preview last week when we saw that. Let's get away from the game for tomorrow. Some interesting stuff, though, over the last week or so. One of the stories, the new L.A. Rams, and we're going to talk about relocation in a bit, but it's really interesting. I'm hearing that Peyton Manning might be with the Rams next season. What are you hearing on that?
No, not happening. That's wishful thinking. It's someone making a story up, and we have nothing to talk about. How many times can you ask Peyton Manning in his press conferences, are you retiring? How many times can you talk about a black quarterback? How many times can you talk about HGH? Hey, you know what? The Broncos are going to go with Brock Osweiler because he's a free agent. And he has in his contract, they can't franchise him. So maybe Peyton Manning wants to play. Let's put him with the Rams. I even heard the Houston Texans, believe it or not. Okay? Because those are the two teams that are really in market for. Well, I want to go to L.A. because of the market and what have you and stuff like that. But I think this is, like he said, this is probably win or lose, it's going to be his last rodeo. I think he's done. I think he's going to walk away. And if they win, what a glorious send off. If not, nothing tarnishes this guy's legacy. He's the number one regular season quarterback of all time, tied with Dan Marino and Brett Favre. And obviously, if he wins a game tomorrow, he'll probably seal his fate as one of the top five quarterbacks of all time.
Okay. Another strange story. Colin Kaepernick wants to go to the Jets. The Jets seem to be saying no. They want Ryan Fitzpatrick. You and I keep saying, oh, my God, Chip Kelly to San Francisco is perfect for Colin Kaepernick. What are you hearing on this story?
He's a schmuck. Total schmuck.
Ooh.
I mean, Colin Kaepernick, when Chip Kelly went in, he wooed these guys. They interviewed him for 42 minutes. Trent Baalke, who is your general manager of the 49ers, and Jed York interviewed him for 42 minutes, and you think, wow, it didn't go well. He walked in there with entire nutrition, how to handle this team, with a syllabus of what he wanted to do. He had breakdowns of every player that weren't free agents. He was so prepared for that job and interview. They saw him for 42 minutes, and they want to talk to Mike Shanahan, hired Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly met with Kaepernick and says, this is what I do. This is the nutrition. This is the off-season workout. And by the way, you're making $14 million a year, so you might want to think about doing this. This is the nutrition workout I have for you. Other guys haven't bought into it, like LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson and Jerry Mack, and I got rid of them. But if you follow this for the kind of offense I want to run, you never saw one of my guys go down with injury because of and it's true. The Eagles had the least amount of injuries from guys with hamstrings and what have you because he's a complete nutrition guy. And he goes, and so Kaepernick calls Marcus Mariota and says, is this guy the real deal? He goes, yes, he's going to work your ass off, and you're going to hate him. He's like a drill sergeant, but you'll be in the best shape of your life, and that offense is perfect for you. So then what does he do? I don't want to play for this guy. I want to go play for the Jets. You know? And wait a minute. Forget the last game that he had against the Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of my comeback players of the year. Tremendous. Look at his stats. He put Geno Smith to rest forever of that team. He's only 35 years old. He's got a few years left. I'm upset with Colin Kaepernick because I thought, and you and I talked about this, of all the guys that are going to be potential free agents, or they are, the RG3s, the Johnny Manziels, and Colin Kaepernick, he had the biggest upside of guys you thought that might be moving on or whatever. Then you figure Chip Kelly gets hired. What a tremendous marriage that could be. And I got to use the word schmuck. I mean, it shows a work ethic. And I'll give you one more analogy. I always look at free agency starts March 15th, and hopefully we'll do a show about that when it gets close and stuff like that. I always look at guys that are with semi-successful teams that go to teams that stink for the money. For example, the Dominican Sue was with the Lions team that goes 11-5, not last season, the year before, makes the playoffs, and goes to a 6-10 Dolphin team because they offered him the most money, and the Dolphins stunk this year, and the Lions weren't much better. But I always think that as a red flag. When I put the red flag on Colin Kaepernick, because you are with the coach that when he's allowed to coach, they were 10-6 2 years in a row, the Eagles, with Nick Foles, the quarterback, who took a step back this year with the Rams. And make a long story short, all the distraction, him being the general manager, basically, and director of player personnel, and getting rid of guys, and there was some distractions and dysfunction in Philadelphia. When Chip Kelly's allowed to coach, and he has some players around him, watch out for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, good take. Good take on that. Another report, Johnny Manziel going to be gone from the Browns. We're hearing stories now that he actually may have some criminal charges against him for hitting his girlfriend. We're hearing his father is worried that he may not make it to 24 years old. He's got a lot of problems. This is turning into, even though I'm not a Johnny Manziel fan, this is turning into a very, very sad story. What are you hearing on this?
Same thing. His dad, Paul Manziel, said, if we don't get this kid into some proper rehab, and we've tried every resource we can, then he won't see his 24th birthday. They actually had him into a real exclusive rehab center outside of Dallas last week, and he walked out of it. So there's some major stuff going on, and it has been confirmed that he was in Vegas the day before the last game and wearing a wig and getting drunk, and it just goes to show that there's a lot more problems with this kid than anything. And I think, first of all, Dallas, the Cowboys came out yesterday and said Johnny Manziel is on our plans for 2016. And that was the only team I thought that might take a shot at him, because actually Johnny Manziel's dad works a lot with Jerry Jones Industries. But this isn't about football anymore. This is about a young man that, and you know, he never had these indiscretions in college. He graduated, and it's sad to think that something happened, click with this kid. And his ex-girlfriend's claiming he hit her. Now there's witnesses, and now the Dallas police force is investigating. This story is not going to go away. And it's sad that we may see another Jamarcus Russell, a highly touted guy that comes out and just the money and the fame and whatever could make that transition. I happen to think I'm a second chance guy. I believe in second chances, John. But I think that this kid's going to have to resurrect himself, maybe go to Canada. He's only 23 years old, and he has talent. But if he could prove to the people in the league that, you know, and I'm clean, he went to rehab before, and it obviously didn't take. It got worse. So he's going to have to get himself shaped up. I don't think he plays in 2016, at least in the National Football League. It's sad.
Okay. Since we were off a week, I was overseas. The L.A. relocation story, it got a little bit quiet, but Boychuk, you caught some info over the last week or so that kind of went below the media radar. Spill. What are you hearing that's really happening with this? Because I think you've got your finger on exactly what will be going on.
Mark Davis came. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Mark Davis came to Las Vegas, and I live in Las Vegas, and everyone in Las Vegas, I got 19,000 texts and emails and calls about, oh, my God, Mark Davis is going to move the Raiders to Las Vegas. So I go, hey, hold on a second. Sheldon Adelson, who's one of the top 15 most richest people on this planet, and Al Davis, Mark Davis's dad, the icon that was the owner of the Oakland Raiders, were considered best friends. Al's birthday is July 4th. It was. He's passed away. And he came to Vegas every July 4th, and for 2 weeks, Sheldon Adelson wine and dime, had a great time, and did what any man would do between the ages of 65 and 85. Probably sat there and played cards and looked at young girls in their breasts. Anyways, I believe this, and I know it's true from my sources. Mark Davis really wants to keep the Raiders in Oakland, and he came to Uncle Shelley and said, can you help me? You know, Mark Davis is the poorest owner in the league. He didn't make any money. He's not a billionaire like 15 of these guys are through business, and they have a football team. He inherited a team from the Raiders, so follow me on this. He came to Adelson and said, can you help me? Can you loan me the money to get something done in Oakland? And we'll call it the Sheldon Adelson Coliseum. You know, we'll do what we have to do. and the meetings went very well. Now, you also met with Steve Wynn and Louis Fertitta, names you're familiar with. Fertittas are very big here in Las Vegas with the station casinos that are big in Las Vegas. And the plan was, and it's still going to happen, I believe, they're going to build a dome stadium in Las Vegas. Here's why the Raiders are not going to go to Las Vegas, and I'll on this, is that Mark Davis said, if you had a stadium, if Vegas had a stadium that's ready to go right now, like if they want to move to San Antonio, the Alamo Dome holds 60,000, the Raiders can move there. You're gonna get the audience on this one too. If the Rams want to move to Los Angeles, you had Anaheim Stadium, you had the Coliseum where they're gonna play next season, and you had the Rose Bowl ready to go. We have what's called the Silver Bowl, which is an erector set. Remember when we were kids at the erector set? It holds 34,000 people. Okay, the seat—they're not even seats or benches unless you have a thing. And Davis said there's nowhere for us to play. I can't say we're going to play in Oakland for 3 years. It'll be too much of a distraction to the players and this and that. Here's my belief: Davis always wanted to stay in Oakland. If Vegas had a stadium to go right now, they'd be playing in 2016, and he'd use a line from Goodfellas. Goodfellas, F you, sue me. You sued my dad, and you lost. I believe the NFL, deep down, really wants a team in Las Vegas because they always say we want a place that is burgeoning as far as an economy. Our economy is getting better, and for future events, we want hotel space and entertainment. Well, hello, Las Vegas. We have hotel space more than anyone in the United States. What's going to happen is Roger Goodell said yesterday in his press conference, our desire is to keep the Raiders in Oakland and the Chargers in San Diego and upped. They gave them each $100 million, or giving each team another extra $300 million to get something done. When it's all said and done, the Rams will be in Los Angeles. I believe the Raiders will get something done in Oakland, and the Chargers will be in San Diego. And that's what the league really wants.
Okay, so is the San Antonio, is that even close to being anything?
No, because the Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, threw a carrot to the Raiders because it's in the writing that if the Chargers balk at this deal by January 7th, they don't have something done by January 7th, then the right to go to L.A. goes to the Raiders. And I know Mark Davis would jump at going to L.A. if the Chargers don't. So, and I know that Stan Kroenke next year. That's the deadline of next year, of 2017. Then the Raiders have a chance. That was in the whole deal about who's going to go to L.A. and be the second fiddle. Is the Raiders are second fiddle and pissed off Mark Davis? Why are we the second fiddle? Between you and me and this telephone and the rest of our listeners, Stan Kroenke no way wants the Raiders in Los Angeles. The Raiders are more popular in L.A. than the Rams are. And the minute they say they're going there, watch what happens.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Born and raised in L.A., I was a Raiders season ticket holder in L.A. They are more popular in Los Angeles right now, and the Rams will build that momentum. But the Raiders are the Raiders. This is something I said to you off the record. The three teams that are, and this is an interesting point. I'm gonna give myself some bravado on this. Of the three teams that were rumored to go to Los Angeles, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders. What do the Raiders have that those other teams don't have? Marquee value. Marquee.
Yeah.
It's a marquee team. It's like the Yankees. You love them or hate them. I think there's seven or eight teams I could name in a National Football League. The Packers, the Redskins, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Raiders. These are five of the teams that you just associate with the NFL. You don't think about the Chargers and the Rams. You don't think, yeah, you know what, there's a big legacy there, and there's just a lot of history with the teams I just mentioned, and there's not. And Stan Kroenke wants to be the big man in town. He's building this beautiful – the listeners have to go on the line and look at what's going on with this new Rams stadium, with the mall, with the studios they're building, to do films. They're moving NFL Network there. Fox is moving their studios there. It's going to be like a mini city. That's it. Raiders stay in Oakland. Rams are on Los Angeles, obviously, for 2016. And the Chargers will be in San Diego. That's my belief.
Okay. All right, cool. He is our NFL expert, Eric Snyder. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He's also on the Power Hour, 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. You can catch me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Let's get into fantasy sports because we're still waiting on what's going to happen with this. A number of states want to either regulate or ban fantasy sports completely. More attorneys general of states are cracking down on fantasy sports as illegal gambling, including Texas. But Rhode Island's determined that fantasy sports is legal there. But here's a big factor. Citibank is now shutting down all bank accounts for people in New York so they cannot play fantasy sports. So with that all jumbled going on there, because I do think that there are some legislatures that really want fantasy sports because they can see revenues coming in for the states, give me your assessment with all that news. Do you have any sort of crystal ball, or is anybody telling you anything that would give you any reason to say, we understand what's going on?
You summed up everything beautifully in that lead into what I'm going to say right now. And I want you to follow this. There are reports that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and Robert Kraft, your beloved Patriots, are investors in FanDuel and DraftKings. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, and that story broke here in Las Vegas when the Raiders are coming here, because the NFL has always wanted to stay away from the fact that there's gambling. They know people gamble on sports, and everyone knows it, but the NFL has never acknowledged it. If that's true and that story breaks, that's going to be huge, because the NFL is admitting... Wow. That it's a huge thing, and of course lawyers are behind this and what have you. What you just said is all leverage. What's going to happen in Rhode Island? What's going to happen in New York? It's everyone again, and we've talked about this a million times. It's everyone trying to get a piece of the pie. FanDuel and DraftKings exploded this year. The amount of revenue that those sites took in just for football season is incredible. Billions. You know, I have a ton of friends that play it. I never have. I'm not into that. But you can walk into a bar on a Sunday and you see these guys putting their teams in. So the absolute novelty of it is still novel, and people like doing it. Yet I want to follow this story and get some more that Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones are possible investors in this whole thing and have a lot of that stake. And I wouldn't be surprised. Why not? You know, it's not illegal.
Yeah, not illegal.
Not illegal to invest in a website, you know, and then it's not porn, it's not this and that. It's something that I think I don't know. The Citibank shutting down all the bank accounts for the people in New York. That's something I don't know. That's something that sounds pretty that's pretty sketchy to me. So I'll have to follow that. But
well,
I think in the obviously
did come out. It did come out,
right.
And I've got to think that they're more concerned because of a banking concern. And if you're in the banking industry, and I was for a short while, you've got to be very careful of the regulators because they're more concerned about money laundering and things like that. And the minute anything pops up like that, and you know, we had the financial crisis that a lot of people blame the banking industry, and certainly they had a big part in that. So, and you've got a lot of attorneys general who are – a lot of them get elected. Most of them do get elected. And they want to crack down on what would be bad behavior or things where people are taking advantage of other people. So that's a real story. That's happening in New York. The flip side of New York is that there are lawmakers in New York who are going to make the laws who are very pro fantasy sports. So that's the butting of the heads that you're going to see. Who wins? That's a good question. Let me add to the jumble of things. I just got back from London. I attended the ICE Gaming Convention. Mobile is going wild over there, so folks, especially millennials, will be able to play and bet right off their phones. One of the games I saw makes fantasy sports like Uber. It is called Live Plus, created by, it's a European company called Play Venture. You can bet on propositions during the game and get immediate action. It will probably never be here in the U.S., but Boychik, I'm just wondering, since it is allowed overseas and since we're seeing more games going outside the country, just announced by the commissioner, is this strategy going to get more international fans too?
Yes. I mean, if you were there, you realize if you go by Wembley Stadium or the big stadium there where they have, you know, Manchester United plays, there's gambling parlors all situated right around there. Gambling's legal in London, okay? So it makes sense. And we talk about this immediate gratification society we live in. I really believe it's going to happen in the U.S. You say probably never will. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it will happen in the U.S. because within 10 years, you'll be able to watch every game on your watch. So I think it's great that you just added that information and educated us on what's going on in the European community. I mean, look what they're going to be, and they're testing this out because look how popular soccer is over there. I'm sure you saw that. I'm sure you went around and saw people wearing all kinds of soccer jerseys because the English Premier League is getting going right now, and And the fact that you could bet on halftime who's going to score goals and you're saying immediate action, that's huge. That means if you could, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. You said you could bet on propositions during the game and get immediate action. So I'm betting on Manchester United Wayne Rooney is going to score two goals in the second half against Chelsea. And he does. That means I get immediate action that goes right into my account. I can look on my phone and it goes right into my account in my bank. That's huge. Huge.
And not only that, while you're looking at it, you can actually see who else is betting and what they're betting. So your strategy will also be not only on what's going on in the game, but what other people are betting as well. So it's very transparent. Unlike what we think on a lot of the FanDuels and the DraftKings, that hasn't been transparent. So this is different that way. I should also say that game is still in beta. So they're still, I mean, they rolled it out, but they still got to do beta tests on it. But anybody should take a look at it because, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just taking it. It's going Uber. It's going to the next step of you know, people getting more hyper about what they want in the games. They want it faster, quicker, and moving at a better pace and, you know,
HD. And, you know, it's great because it's the same. It's so perfect for what we're going in our future. And we look at our sports and why has football become so popular in the last 20 years? Because it's fast. It's a fast season and it ends. Why is baseball? We talked about it. Baseball doesn't have this fast ice. Baseball, the games are now longer and stuff like that. And people's brains don't work that way. And when you have technology going in a sense that, like I just said, you could bet on a game and get your media. All right, God, I can't believe I just won that bet. And now I have an extra $1,000 in my bank account. Wow. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the way it's going to be. We mentioned about the commissioner's news conference. Anything else jump out at you yesterday when you heard him speaking that was newsworthy?
Not what he said yesterday. Well, yeah, obviously he announced that the Raiders are going to play the Houston Texans November 21st in Mexico City. That's huge. You know, I know right now behind the scenes that Mexico City is a venue, a city, 20 million people that the NFL is looking hard to expand to. He said today in an interview with Jay Glazer, he said that he thinks it's more likely than not and very probable that London will have a team, an NFL franchise within 10 years. Now, you were there. Did you see any – did you see the – because when these games are played, three games are being played next season, they sell out in 12 minutes. Did you get – when you talked to the guy on the street, did the Super Bowl ever come up as a conversation when you were there with people? Because the game seems to be it's busting out in London, and it's huge in Mexico, and that's what Roger Goodell's legacy is going to be when it's all said and done. He's a commissioner the next 10 years. I believe this sport, the NFL is the most popular sport in America, but believe it or not, it's not even close to being anything in the world where hockey and basketball, even baseball, are big. Basketball is the biggest sport. It's funny. Basketball is losing popularity in the United States, yet throughout the world it's very popular. Football is the opposite. And what Goodell is doing is he's bringing our brand to other countries. And right now I hear London is – they're going crazy over football, football.
And the irony is, too, is that the NBA is actually doing very well in China. So, but in answer to your question, I can't say I saw a ton of NFL stuff. There were people that were talking about the Super Bowl, even though they're going to be watching it at 11 o'clock at night on Sunday night. But the other interesting thing I found from them is because they're certainly right in the middle of their Premier League, their football over there, and those people are as wacky, nutty about that as we are about the NFL. So I can easily see them getting involved in that and just going nuts over it. I think it does make a lot of sense. And I think it makes a lot of sense because they're so much like us over there, despite the what we think of the differences. The Mexico
and Goodell had a good, yeah, well, the NFL is so much with technology and the way we watch it. And they think how great the Red Zone channel and the things that the NFL comes up with to always try and make the game better. And Goodell made a point this morning I thought was very interesting. He goes, within 10 years, we're going to have better technology transportation-wise. And he hinted about that rocket that you'll be able to get to L.A. to London in 5 hours in the next 10 to 15 years. And that's something hopefully we'll see in our lifetime because everyone said, what about the travel and what have you? So you know, if we're making strides that way, we're gonna have better ways to get places, and this hyper train that they're building in China with those 400 miles an hour in a tube. Hear about that? I mean, yeah. this is ways that, I mean, I hope, look, you know, look, John, I know you're 72 years old, but I hope in 20 years from now, you'll be able to, I'm joking, but I think in 20 years from now, we're going to see this league branch itself out to other countries. And Mexico, I guarantee you, Azteca Stadium in Mexico City holds 100,000 people. Okay. That game will sell out between the Raiders and the Texans. Other than that, you know, the league is very healthy. You know, he talked about today, he said real quick, and he didn't say it yesterday, but how youth football was down 28% 2 years ago. It was only down 12% this year. So now people are going back to youth football, and there's going to be better technology, and a lot of NFL players are getting involved with youth football leagues, from Aqib Talib. And Aqib Talib said in his press conference on media day that I'm very involved in the Dallas area in a lot of youth football leagues because, hey, it's still a popular sport. If we can find technology to make better helmets and what have you, this league's going to flourish.
Okay. Just briefly, one of the things that I caught from the commissioner's press conference, and I'm going to combine it with another story here, that he would like to see if there's two personal fouls on a player, especially for hurting somebody, that they're ejected from the game. Also, what came out, Joe Montana is having a lot of physical problems. The great Joe Montana, he's only 59 years old, having problems moving around. You know, that kind of ties into that. Are we beginning to see what may be some rules changes, some more protections for the players coming up in the offseason?
No. They're going to look at better helmets. They're going to look at better, you know, ways to, you know, to improve it, to stop the helmets. But sometimes, you know, you're in the path of a collision on a football field, and things get hit wrong, and you go down. They're getting bigger and faster, and that's the problem the league's always going to have. That the body's getting, your body can only take so much. Football's not made for the human body. That's one thing that always has to be stressed. It's not made for the human body. And you know, I saw Marcus Allen walking with a cane during Super Bowl week, you know, and he doesn't all the time, but you're not, you're getting hit all the time. And what was that one hit in the playoff game in 1986 where Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor just converged on Joe Montana, knocked him out? That's the year the Giants won the Super Bowl. They beat him 49-3. And Montana was such a vicious hit. And they walked him up the field and he was doozing. Joe Montana said he could remember anything for a week and a half. You know how scary that is? And, you know, obviously he came back and won the Super Bowl in 88 and 99, but these collisions are incredible. I mean, I heard a great interview with Jim McMahon. I'm giving up on Dan Patrick. And McMahon said that for months he would sit in his room and not get out of bed and say to his wife, Lori, anything I have to do today? And she'd say no, because the concussions and the stress of the game and the CTE made him so depressed and got out of it. And, you know, there's better stuff now. Now they're saying the great Kenny Stabler might have suffered from, my favorite football player of all time, suffered from CTE. That's a great thing you're looking at. There's now technology out there, and there's medicine to help with that. So that's the improvements we're going to see, and the NFL is going to put money into that.
Okay. So we look forward to seeing something coming out in the spring when they have their meetings coming up. Okay, great. Okay, before we go, you and I just gave our picks. The game is over tomorrow. You and I are going to try to go live so we can get some immediate reaction to the game that what you and I have. But what happens after that? I mean, what are you starting to look at? I mean, do you go through depression, or do you start looking ahead, and what are some of the things that you key on? Because you've literally told me this is a 12-month profession for you. You follow this. What are you going to be looking at?
Well, I go through depression when the Raiders are eliminated from the playoffs the last 13 years. So roughly around December 28th every year, the last 13 years, I go through a depression. Here's what the NFL is brilliant in their marketing campaign. February 28th, and this thing's blown up. Look at I want you to follow the ratings, and maybe we could do a show. The weekend of February 28th, John, is the scouting combine in Indianapolis. 4 days of and every top prospect is committed, from Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch. Those are three names that are your quarterbacks that are going to be big in this draft. The Derrick Henrys, the Ezekiel Elliotts, the running backs, Joey Bosa, you're going to get a great attendance at this combine. And they're running the 40, and everyone's talking, all the coaches are there, and you're talking football for 4 days on the NFL Network and ESPN simulcast and combined for 4 days, right? 3 weeks after the Super Bowl. Okay, so that ends. What happens March 15th? Free agency starts. Huge. The Raiders have $66 million under the salary cap. If you're a Raider junkie like I am, wow, we improved four games. Now we have money, and now we're a destination. Now players are going to say, you know what? I'm not an Ndamukong Suh. I'm not going to go from a good team to a struggling team like the Dolphins for the money. Players are going to say, you know what? The Raiders have maybe something going right there. And Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Khalil Mack, good young guys. That's happening. Okay, so that ends. March 15th around March 29th in the sprint. Oh, okay. Then let's go April 29th through May 2nd, the NFL draft. Great. The NFL draft gets higher ratings. And the first night on the Thursday of the NFL draft, John Daly, gets higher ratings than any NBA playoff or NHL hockey playoff game that's on. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Last year, the Cavs were playing in a playoff game. Don't quote me who they were playing. The Cavs with LeBron James, and the NFL draft blew it away. Okay, that's it. So that ends. So you're ending May 3rd, roughly, okay? The mini camps start May 15th. So if you're a guy like me, you're going to watch the NFL Network, you're going to watch, hey, our new rookies and this and that, watch some of the practices. June's a dead month. Then July training camp starts. So it's just, and then, okay, if you're a sports fan like John Daly and Eric Snyder, what happens in June? You got the NBA Finals and the National Hockey League Finals. So the NFL does make it market itself that you have an event for the next 3 or 4 months that keeps you interested in the game and keeps you talking about it, with the culmination being the draft, which is the biggest of those events, end of April, beginning of May. And then, you know, we before you know it, it's going to be training camp in July. So that's what I'm looking at. That keeps me sober in my depression, because I'm a football junkie. I live for it. I can't wait. I'm 55 years old, and I don't sleep the night before games. I'm like a player. And the worst is opening weekend. I am so excited. I remember real quick, the opening weekend this past season was September 12th. And my cousin Brad is like a brother to me. I revere him like I revere you. He gets married in California, in Ventura County. And there's a huge brunch for family members the 12th. Okay. And I have family members I haven't seen in a long time, cousins. And we went to high school together, my cousin and I. We're only 8 months apart. And we're first cousins. And there's a ton of family members there. And there's a lot of good-looking girls there. My wife, a lot of family we haven't seen. I made my wife fly back on the 6:30 flight. We drove all the way from Ventura to Burbank to fly back at 6:30 in the morning so I wouldn't miss the kickoff of the 10 o'clock game. And I took a lot of crap for that. But everyone that knew me, the 100 people, said, that's Eric. Okay? Now they said, look, we'll have the games on. We have DirecTV at the house where the brunch is going to be. We had a brunch at Brad's house. And I said, are you kidding me? I can't watch a Raider game to open against the Bengals. I can't watch that game with 50 people around me. You ever watch me watching a football game? It's like a demolition derby. Oh. So the great thing about this offseason, too, is that you're going to get a lot of drama. Okay, we're going to know real quick within the next 6 months if there's certain stadium deals being brewing in San Diego and Oakland. And the fact that the Rams are going back, it's so cool. I heard when you fly into Burbank, I know you fly a lot, and you fly into LAX, there's a Ram logo, says home of the Los Angeles Rams. That's going to be great for that city, my hometown, that they have a football team. And you could talk about the negativity, the Johnny Manziel story, sad, and the injuries and the bad officiating. But I promise you, in March, the league's going to look into that, and they're going to get a lot of this right. And the best thing about it is the drama that is this game is going to continue to persist, and we'll look forward to it next season.
All right. Well, before we go, let's go over our picks again. I got the Panthers winning 23-16. You got the Broncos. Did you say 23-20?
Correct.
23-20. We will find out tomorrow. We'll try to go live right after the game. So make sure to check in with us. We've been talking with our expert, Eric Snyder, author of the book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He's also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. And you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Boychuk, thanks, John, as always. Another great show.
Another great show. But one thing, I think the listeners have to know that I could see you through a Skype. The fact that you have actually bought, that you spent a ton of money to buy the same pants that Cam Newton was wearing when he got off the plane. The fact that you were wearing those right now, because I know you live in the Carolina area. I won't tell people because I don't want your fans to go nuts crazy and knock down your door like you're Elvis in Graceland. But the fact that you're wearing those pants and you can't fit that package, you know what? I'm going to get in trouble here, but you really are Irish.
You know, have you ever seen an Irish camel toe? So,
yes, I have. What it is when you see that package down there, when the zipper opens the package, okay, Guinness comes out. Brilliant. You're the best, man. We've had a great season this year, John.
I got my Skype camera on you. We do have a great one, but I just want to tell you, I got a Skype camera on you.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that.
I took two dumps during the seven, right when we first started, and I took one right when we started talking about Johnny Manziel. So, and I kept the flushes quiet. I've kept everything. You add the sound effects. I just provide the actual definition. So it's been a great season. I look forward to doing a recap with you, and hopefully the fans will want to hear a little football in the off season. We could talk about free agency and the draft. And you know, it's a lot of fun. You're quite the professional, my friend.
And you right back at you, buddy. And we'll do more. We will do more during the off season. We'll do more tomorrow. So much appreciated, folks. Thanks for following us. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Boychuk, thanks again, buddy.
Thank you.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.